thoughts on Mark. Mark chapter 12, verses 25 to 27. Here we come to Christ's answer, dealing with the issue raised by the Sadducees. It wasn't a real issue for them, in the sense it wasn't a real question. Of course, they hated all talk of resurrection, but now Christ goes for it, the resurrection. And I want to draw out some of the leading points. Take verse 25. When the dead rise. When? Did you notice that? Not if. Not if. When? There's a certainty here. There's a definiteness. There's no if, but, maybe, or perhaps, none of that. It's when. Unbeliever, are you listening? There's when. You definitely will be raised. Oh yes, there is a resurrection of the dead. There are two states, too. That's the next thing I would raise here with you. There is the temporal state. Let me read it to you. When the dead rise, they will neither marry nor be given in marriage. Now, he's speaking about marriage and so on, because that's the technical question that the Sadducees have raised. They're not interested in the technicalities. They're not really interested in that question. But that's the point they've raised. Anyway, we can broaden it. In this life, there is marriage, giving in marriage, there's this and that and the other. There's all sorts of things going on, making up a man's life. Yes, very much so. There is this temporal state. But in the new state, the post-resurrection state, they'll be like the angels in heaven. Now, I can't fully go into all that. I don't understand it. I don't know. But all I know is there's this life and there is that life. There is the temporal life, the temporary state, the physical state now, if you like to call it that. There's the immortal state, the eternal state. Unbeliever, you're listening? There's no if about it. You will have to go into that state. You're taking much thought about this temporal state. But the other state is certain as well. You're going to enter into eternity. Are you preparing for that state? There's the first two things. Thirdly, Christ brings out the scriptural evidence. Now, what he does something very interesting. You'd have thought he might have gone to Job 19 or something, and, you know, though worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. But he takes these people out of their comfort zone. He moves them into an area they haven't thought of. When talking to Jehovah's Witnesses, it's so easy to drop into the standard text to prove this and that. But it's, I think, profitable to take them out of their comfort zone, take them to a text that they haven't thought of. For example, I know someone who used to take Jehovah's Witnesses when he spoke to them to the text, Jesus' words, my Father is greater than I. Oh, they love that. Yeah, but he pointed out the significance of Christ saying that as a man at the mediator. That's why he said it. I mean, if I said it, it'd be trite. It's obvious. God is greater than me. Well, that's obvious. But Christ saying it is full of importance. Anyway, that's just an illustration. There's an interesting translation point here. In the account of the bush, or whatever version you have there, that's been added, but it's a very sensible addition. It's not the bush itself, it's the account of the bush. We hear this, we read this, how God said to Moses, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. This is a description, this is an argument. This is a power that Christ is using here to show that I am, God is saying, and he is, and he is the God of these men, and they're not dead, and so on. It's all detailed out. This is what he's arguing, that these men must be alive in some form or another. They're not in this temporal state. We have their tombs. Their bodies have died in the ground, and so on, perished. But clearly, they are not annihilated or extinct or whatever. They're not extinct. Their bodies have perished, but there will be a resurrection. So God is the God of these personally, individually, you see. He is the God of Abraham. He is the God of Isaac. He is the God of Jacob and so on. This is the powerful statement about the personal care God has for his people. And he's a present God of these people. He was the God of Abraham. He is the God of Abraham. He is the God of Isaac. And he is the God of Jacob. Now, Christ promised that his Spirit would lead his apostles into all truth. And the full revelation of these things will come later, he said. And of course we have that in the New Testament. I'm just going to read one passage to bring out the full New Testament teaching on it. Not completely everything. Other passages need to be read. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, die, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive and who are left till the coming of the Lord will certainly not go before those or precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. But unbeliever, the passage goes on into chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, and the warning about the judgment. And therefore, I urge you to be ready. There's no if about it. Be ready for the resurrection. Be ready for the eternal state. There's no if about it. Prepare to meet God, your God. For meet him you must in that last day. Where will you spend eternity?